The reading is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then from verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Okay, our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of his majesty in heaven.
What does Christmas mean to you? Here are what some people have said about Christmas. Christmas is a time when everyone wants his past forgotten and his present remembered. That's one. Another one. A few people have slowly got that one. That's the true spirit of Christmas. People being helped by people other than me. That was one famous quote. And Scrooge from A Christmas Carol, he says something rather similar, doesn't he? He says, "What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older but not a penny richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas upon his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." And we'll give the last word for now to Bart Simpson. There's a picture of this quote behind me. Well, he says, "Aren't we forgetting the true meaning of Christmas? You know, the birth of Santa." Well, that's what he says. Of course, Christmas is not about the birth of Santa, but we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And at this point in the service, we're going to just look again at these three verses from the Bible that we've had read about Jesus, read to us by Scott before the last carol. And they should appear hopefully on the screen behind us, or in a small part of the screen for some reason. As we look again at them, can we have the lights on, please? Anyway, actually, it's getting a little bit difficult to read my notes as it is without. Yeah, that's great. Well, as we look again at these verses, we're going to see two things about Jesus, things that may come as quite a surprise to some people. And we're going to be seeing who is the real Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. So the first thing that I want us to see is this. We can only know God through Jesus. We can only know God through Jesus. And if we look, this is how our passage starts. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Perhaps you glance at the first three words and you feel that sums up pretty much all there is to know about God in the past. I'd imagine that some here would think of God as a sort of God of history. All very well for people years ago, but no use whatsoever to rational scientific people in the 21st century. For many, God brings a sort of feeling of nostalgia. He's a sort of warm, comforting, quaint God, who may be fine for children and at Christmas, but he can't really help us where we need help. He won't pay the bills or mend the broken relationships. Well, the sentence doesn't end with God in the past, where perhaps we often think he belongs. No, it says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, that's the time we live in today, since the death and resurrection of Jesus, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The past mentioned is the Old Testament, the first part of our Bible, where God spoke to people in all sorts of ways, through a burning bush, to Moses, through his law, through the prophets, through visions and dreams, through direct speech, I mean, even through a donkey at one point. But notice the change here. Since the time of Jesus, the life we celebrate at Christmas, God's changed, in a sense, the way he speaks to us. He speaks fully and finally and definitively to the world through a person, through Jesus Christ, the Son. So this means, then, that God is a knowable God. We can know God because he's a speaking God. Now, I'm guessing that most people here don't know my middle name or my date of birth. But you'd be free to speculate, wouldn't you? Maybe the name is sort of a name from the past, so of Archibald or something. I look like an Archibald, or maybe something a bit more trendy, sort of a Brooklyn, perhaps. Maybe it's Bernard or Chris. I mean, you'll be free to speculate. You'll be free to speculate my date of birth. Was I a winter baby or a summer one? Judging by my youthful good looks, you might put me at 22 or 23. You might say 33 or 43. I'm sure you wouldn't say that. But if I was to tell you that my middle name was Patrick and I was born on the 27th of July, 1982, then that would end the speculation. That would be the final words on the matter, direct from my mouth. And you'd have no reason to doubt me either. And it's like that with God. We can sort of speculate. I think God's telling me this or that. I think God wants me to be rich and famous, perhaps. Or this is how I like to think of God as being. But at the end of the day, we have God's final word to us in the person of Jesus. So if I want to know God at Christmas, if we want to know God's plan or his purpose for our life, we don't need to turn to a philosophy or to a neat set of ideas or to a priest or someone who will tell us or to religion, to a set of rules to follow. No, we need to come to a person, to Jesus Christ, because it's through Jesus that God speaks to us. And we know Jesus through the Bible, through God's word. There's no need for us to speculate. So if I went out yesterday, say a busy Saturday before Christmas, people Christmas shopping, I stopped people in the streets, and I said to them, we played a sort of word association game, and I said to them, Jesus, what sort of words do you think people would associate with Jesus. Baby, manger, stable, Bethlehem. There's a well-known carol that I like, which has this line about Jesus. It says, he was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us, he knew. And I think to many people today, this pretty much sums up their complete view of Jesus. And to be honest, this is probably the sort of Jesus, if we're honest, we feel more comfortable with. But I think the picture painted of Jesus here couldn't be much more different from little, weak, helpless. Let's just have a look at some of the things we see about Jesus. Verse 2, we see, by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. If you've ever, I don't know if you've watched the programme Air Hunters, well, if you have, you'll know that an heir is someone who will inherit what is rightfully theirs. And Jesus is heir of all things. Everything is rightfully Jesus's, because he created it. He made the universe. And then verse 3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Everything in this room is held together, sustained, because Jesus holds it together. And it takes us back, right back to that main point I said at the start. We can know God because he makes himself known. God is supremely big and complex and awesome, but he's given us in Jesus his exact representation. God speaks to us in a language we can understand by becoming a person like us and coming into the world as Jesus. So that's the first thing. We can only know God through Jesus. And the second thing, we can only have access to God through Jesus. We can only have access to God through Jesus. Well, I was watching a programme on TV recently, and there were two men walking somewhere in the coast of Cornwall, I think it was, and they were out, it was quite rocky, and there was a sort of cave behind them, and then a great big cliff towering behind them. And the programme was about following some coast guards, and they were out in sea, and they'd seen these two men in danger. And so they came in to rescue them. They'd spotted them, they came in. These huge waves were sort of crashing around these two men. And strangely, they seemed a little bit reluctant to get in the Coast Guard's boats. But then they did, and they were eventually brought around the headland, back onto the beach in safety. These two men were being interviewed. They were so laid back. I've never seen anything. Just unbelievable. They were saying, oh, we were all right. We were just going to sort of climb up the cliff and walk back around. But the Coast Guards said they were foolish. And many people had been swept out to sea and killed from the position these men were in. Now, I just tell this story because very often we don't realise that something is a problem until it's too late. Like these two men, they didn't realise the danger they were in. And the Bible paints a problem that every human being that has ever lived faces. If I ask you tonight, what's your biggest problem that you face today? I wonder what you would say. I'm worried I'm not going to get that iPad I desperately want for Christmas. Or maybe you're worried about the busyness and all the things you've got to get done. Or some friend at school or at work who's let you down. For many, maybe there's something much more serious. Maybe there's a really big problem that you're really struggling with. But we may have never considered the problem that the Bible highlights before. But it is here for us in our reading. And fortunately, the solution is here too. Will you just look, again, the second part, towards the end of verse 3, we read this. After he, Jesus, had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The problem that we all face is called here sin. And our greatest need, according to the Bible, is to have sin purified. That's to say, have our sin dealt with, paid for, and to look to God as if we haven't sinned. And you may have never considered sin to be a problem. I mean, you may take offence at the suggestion. Sure, it's a problem for some, murderers, rapists, paedophiles, but not for respectable me. But the Bible says sin is actually to do with our rejection of God. And none of us have met God's perfect standard of holiness and perfection. However hard we try, very often we fail to meet our own standards in life, if we're honest, let alone God's. And Jesus teaches that each of us tends to put ourselves first, our rights, our desires, our wishes, before God's. And that's why naturally we are cut off from God. That's why we can't expect to have a place in heaven with God, no matter how good we are, because God is utterly perfect and we simply don't come close to God. So God's angry at sin and he punishes it. So the great news for us at Christmas is that God has given us the best gift of all. The most significant gift, the most generous gift. Jesus came to earth to be cut off from God, to take a punishment that he didn't deserve. In fact, the punishment we deserve. And Jesus' work there on the cross was complete. That's why we read, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And that means job done. Jesus paid the price for sin on the cross for us. And he paid it fully. Every believer in Jesus is viewed by God now as perfect. Jesus' blood covers sin so we can have access to God. We can have a relationship with God that lasts beyond death, through all eternity. Heaven now as a reality. I was reading what Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London, had said after last Thursday, the decision of where to award the World Cup, after England's World Cup bid was rejected. And he was so incensed that he said his first instinct was war. He wanted to go for the military option, sending the troops to sort out this terrible miscarriage of justice. Let's get the weapons out and show the world who's boss. And apparently he even turned to David Cameron, Prime Minister, to share his idea. Fortunately, the Prime Minister had more sense. And to be honest, I share his frustration. It's not as if I spent any time or money on the World Cup bit. But we often get angry, don't we, when things seem to be wrong or unfair. And as I've said, God gets angry when things are wrong or unfair. The difference is, God is even more loving than we can ever imagine. And he treats us not as we deserve, but with grace, with undeserved kindness. And he offers us this present at Christmas, the gift of his son, Jesus, so we can know God through Jesus. And we can have access to God through Jesus, our sins forgiven, a fresh start, a new life with God as our loving boss, if we turn to God and we say sorry and we ask him, we ask Jesus to be our boss, to be king, to be in charge of our lives. And this, then, is the meaning of Christmas. The good news of hope. Hope that's for all the world. What a gift Jesus is.